things are getting very interesting. Last week, I told you that I think the new leader of the de facto Trump resistance is Marjorie Taylor Greene. And this week, Marjorie Taylor Greene announced she's resigning. And I never thought I'd say this, but Marjorie, I'm sorry to see you go. You were just starting to, you know, stand up to policies that were not part of the Trump agenda. You know, you were a big supporter of this guy. And now he's dismissed you. He's unendorsed you. He's made it possible for, or more appealing for, people in the mega base to threaten you, and they are doing that. And I understand why Greene is resigning. You know, she's on the outs. She's getting death threats. I get it. I understand. And just to be sure, folks, you know this, that she represents the most Republican district in the state of Georgia. She was probably going to win that seat back again, despite Trump, but it will certainly not be a Democratic seat with her gone. That said, I think that Democrats have real prospects for controlling not just the House but the U.S. Senate, and I was pleased to see that perspective, one that I have espoused for a while, is being talked about in the New York Times. And specifically Iowa being mentioned because of the strong candidacy being proposed on the Democratic side, which I can't talk too much about here because this is an FCC-regulated program. But, you know, you have other states around the country where U.S. Senate seats are in play, and Iowa is certainly one of them with the retirement of Joni Ernst. And you've got, again, the House obviously is in play, which is why Republicans have been trying really hard to create a gerrymandering nightmare for Democrats. And, you know, that whole thing has been up and down. I mean, with Texas proposing 5 seats that would be more or less comfortable for Republicans, and yet the district court saying, no, that doesn't wash. The Supreme Court then coming and saying, no, it's okay. This is a pinball game. It goes back and forth, and who knows where it's going to land. It might land in favor of the Democrats, despite Republican efforts to gerrymander the nation in a way that it benefits them. It's hard to say. Bottom line is, even if Republicans win the gerrymandering war, which I think is, again, the whole thing is detestable. It's horrible. If they happen to win that war, Democrats still have a fairly reasonable chance of gaining enough seats to win back the U.S. House. So beyond all those things, these things are not going well for Donald Trump. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene's, even though she is going to resign, the fact that she has made all this noise about Trump not sticking with the agenda that he promised, you know, she's planted a bunch of seeds. And not that there haven't been other people already speaking out against what Trump's been doing, but now you've got a sitting congresswoman, you know, making it really clear that, yeah, it's okay to challenge the dictator in chief. and so we'll see where that goes. And she may still be a voice outside of the system calling for reform, or at least challenging where Trump is taking things. But I suspect that she's so concerned about her safety that she might just shut up. And I get that. But there are other reasons why Trump is losing support. And here's one. This is a story I talked about in this program back in, I think, July or August when it broke. And I don't know why it doesn't get more play here in the U.S. media, but there's a great story about it in the Irish Times last week. It talks about Jim Brown and his wife, Donna Hughes Brown. She's Irish. She was born in England to Irish parents. And they moved to the U.S. back when she was 11. Okay, so she's been here for, what, 47 years. She's a green card holder. And she's married to Jim Brown, who's a conservative Republican. And I mean, he's a military man. You know, he's a country guy. He says, quote, "I grew up dirt poor and literally came through abuse and the whole nine yards." I joined the military, was highly successful in the military, and also very successful in my private life, lived the American dream, and they took it away from me for nothing. And when he says, when Jim Brown says they took it away from him, they're referring to what they did to his wife. So he and Donna went to Ireland. I think it was for a funeral. Anyway, they were in Ireland, and when they came back and landed at O'Hare Airport, the ICE agents were there waiting for them. And they refused to let Jim accompany his wife. They took her away, and he was told that she had to sign some paperwork and would be on the next flight home to St. Louis. That's where they were going, from Ireland to Chicago to St. Louis, and then driving from St. Louis to the ranch they live on in Missouri. So Jim Brown says that he waited patiently for Donna to call me to pick her up after her flight. But ICE went ahead and detained her, and they stuck her in a van, drove her to a facility in Kentucky. She's been detained there ever since July. This is November now, late November. She is still a prisoner in Kentucky. And the allegation is that, well, she was a criminal. Well, let's look at her crime record. Yeah, her criminal record involved writing two, quote, bad checks at a local grocery store during a time of extreme hardship years ago. It was about 10 years ago, I guess. And the total of those checks was less than $60. And most importantly, she repaid that amount. So that's her criminal record. You know, that's the equivalent of running a traffic light, you know, or failing to have a seatbelt on. That's how bad that is, right? And that's the excuse that ICE used to detain her and to send her to a facility in Kentucky, several hundred miles, 500 miles from Missouri, where she's been and in bad condition. I mean, I talked about the condition she's in before. And Jim talks to his wife every day for about 15 minutes. And he says, it doesn't sound good. I mean, and the conditions basically are inhumane. Now, Jim is finally getting some traction. He said over 100 officials in Missouri, got nowhere, finally got some traction from some Democratic lawmakers who invited him to come testify before a hearing. It wasn't a hearing authorized by the Republican majority in the House, but the Democrats had invited him and several other detainees, people who were either on track to be deported or had been deported with very, very questionable situations, and his wife was one of them. The bottom line is more and more Americans are going to be seeing that a lot of people who are being caught up in the ICE web are not the worst of the worst, as Trump called them. They're not the criminals. And I'm sorry, writing a bad check, never good. Understand why it happened. Glad you repaid it. We're done. But no, I guess if you're Stephen Miller, again, Trump's henchman, who wants to see 3,000 deportations a day, you know, you're gonna have to come after not just black and brown people, which again is most of the targeted population, but maybe some Irish people as well. Maybe someone who isn't a rapist or a killer or a murderer or a drug dealer, but a bad check, you know? So this is where we're at. And Jim Brown, again, lifelong Republican, rural American, gun owner, honorable military veteran, is saying, I cannot believe what's happening. This is not what we voted for. No way am I ever going to shut up and support this. And how many more Americans are beginning to see that that's what this is about? This is not about cracking down on the worst of the worst. This is about Trump with the guidance of Stephen Miller meeting a quota to appear to be tough on immigration. It may also be about, you know, trying to make America safe for people that Trump believes in, people that Trump likes. And again, you know, I'm guessing that there aren't a lot of Irish people on the list of deportees, but I do know that there are plenty of Irish Americans who may have not have full citizenship that are being very careful right now, and they have reason to be.